Tonight, if the Lord wills, we will finish chapter 2 of Philippians. Like I said last week, then we will begin our study in the theologies of the Bible. Not just bibliology, but the doctrines of the Bible. And that, I think I'll have about 13 weeks with the different weeks that I won't be doing, about 13 weeks to strive to complete that task. Though we know we could never plumb the depths of God's Word in 13 weeks, I hope it will be a rich study for us as we look to the truths of His Word. Tonight I'm really excited about this passage because it completes a theme that we have kind of been talking about for the last few weeks within our church. Before we get started on it, I want to read the passage to you. Philippians 2, 25 through 30. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for this time in your word. Draw our hearts unto you. Give us an extra amount of ability to focus upon your truths tonight. And may this produce much fruit in our lives as we seek to live it out. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, during our elders' retreat last year, as we were evaluating the ministry of this church, one of the elders, I believe it was Pastor Moses, made the statement that the priority of the believer is the priority of the local church. The priority of the believer is the priority of the local church. In other words, our lives as believers should be prioritized in such a way that the local church takes precedence or is the prime concern or the most important consideration when we consider the usage of our time, our resources, and our God-given abilities. And this is so because our chief priority in this life is to serve and glorify Christ. It's not primarily about the church, but about the one who is the head of the church. The one who created and founded the church. The one who bled and died for the church. The one who orchestrated that the church in this present age would be the primary means by which he would build his coming kingdom and accomplish his eternal purposes according to the counsel of his will. We see that in passages like Matthew 16, 18, where Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail over. That was a guarantee. And in Ephesians 1, 3 through 14, how everything that God does through Christ is according to the counsel of his will. Or in Ephesians 5, 25 through 33, where Paul gives that beautiful description of how the husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church, but then he gets to the end and says, but I'm speaking about the Christ and his church. We see that in passages like 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19, where it talks about we were bought not with perishable things of this world, not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of a lamb, as of a lamb unblemished, who is Christ. And even last time we looked at Philippians in verses 19 through 24 at the life of Timothy, we saw that if you are going to seek the interests of Jesus Christ, according to Philippians 2:21, then it's going to have to be the interests of the local church. So when it comes to Christ, at this particular point in history, there is no greater interest that Christ has outside of sanctifying and building his church to the glory of God the Father. And so it is that our love for Christ shines brightest when we give ourselves to the local church, which is his foremost interest. To the degree that when we make money, our first concern should be to consider how we can sacrificially give of our resources to Christ, which would be to give to the local church. We should have this devotion to Christ, prioritize the local church in our life to the degree that when we consider our God-given abilities, our first concern must be, how can I use these talents for Christ? Which primarily would be within the local church. And also to the degree that when we consider our schedules, the time that God has entrusted to us, we must first consider how we can spend ourselves for Christ, which would be most valuable in connection with the local church. Now, over the last few weeks, this theme of prioritizing the local church in the life of the believer has continued to pop up. Again, a few weeks ago, we looked at the life of Timothy. And we saw that Timothy was put on display as an exemplary Christian to the Philippian church for his servant-like availability to the church of Christ, his servant-like humility within the church of Christ, and his servant-like loyalty to the gospel of Christ, which is the mission of the church. And on Sunday, we saw this same love for Christ in the Apostle Paul and his focus when he was considering the judgment seat of Christ and his life as a Christian. Paul loved the church. And over every local church that he was used to plant became a part of him, consuming his prayer life. You'll see in every one of his letters, his prayer for the saints, consuming his time and his energy in his preaching and his teaching and his writing of his letters to these churches, and consuming his God-given abilities as he would minister on their behalf. And we say that his chief aim, or we saw that his chief aim in this life was to be pleasing to the Lord. Now, some might be tempted to say, "What? Yeah, but you're talking about the great Apostle Paul, the one who was handpicked by Christ himself to be the apostle to the Gentiles. That's not the call of God on my life. Of course he was so devoted to Christ. That was God's plan for him." And regarding Timothy, so we looked at a few weeks ago on Wednesday night, so some might say he was Paul's personal sidekick. You would think that some of that zeal for Christ and his church must have rubbed off on Timothy from Paul. And besides, he was called by God to be an elder and a pastor. He's supposed to have that kind of servant-like commitment to the local church. To which I would respond by saying that I agree that we all won't have the same kind of impact that the Apostle Paul had. None of us have been commissioned by Christ himself to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And not all of us have been gifted to be elders within the church like Timothy, but as Pastor Moses has told us before, we all have the same amount of the Holy Spirit that Paul and Timothy had. But just in case, that is not enough to convince you that the local church should have the greatest priority in your life as you seek to serve and love Christ. I want you to consider this next example that Paul sets before the local church of Philippi. He was one of their very own, a member of their church. As far as we know, he was not a leader in the church. And all that we know of him is found in this letter to the Philippians. He was sent by the Philippians on a mission to take their love offering to the Apostle Paul. This is seen in chapter 4 and verse 18, where Paul writes, I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. Essentially, Epaphroditus was a nobody in comparison to the Apostle Paul and Timothy, at least in the way that we evaluate things. Just a simple layman who loved Christ and therefore demonstrated the mind of Christ in his devoted, loving, and sacrificial service on behalf of the Philippian church. And as it is, Paul sets before the Philippian church Epaphroditus, just as he did Timothy in verses 19 through 24, not only to explain to them the reason for him sending him back, but also to give them another example of the type of Christian that the rest of the believers in Philippi must strive to be. In Epaphroditus, we have an example of a citizen worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which was the very first command that Paul gives to the Philippian church in chapter 1, verse 27, where he says, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ." And we see one who characteristically displayed the mind of Christ, of which the Philippian church was commanded in chapter 2, verse 5, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus," or which was also in Christ Jesus. And in total humility and obedience, he served on behalf of the ministry of the church of Philippi. One commentator put it this way: the apostle focuses his attention on this member of the Philippian congregation not only in order to inform them of what has happened to their fellow Christian and to explain his return with the letter itself, but also to provide them with still another striking illustration of the self-sacrificing service that is demanded of all Christians. In other words, to give a further godly example of the way the Philippians should imitate Christ, close quote. And so, if you have the desire to be an exemplary Christian, if you have the desire to be a citizen worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you have the desire to display the mind of Christ in how you live your life, then consider with me the example of this faithful church member, Epaphroditus. And so in his life, in the life of Epaphroditus, we are given three examples to follow if we are to become exemplary and thereby be citizens worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Three examples to follow if we want to be exemplary Christians and thereby be citizens worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. On example number one, we must follow the example of his devotion to the mission of Christ's church. Number one, we must follow the example of his devotion to the mission of Christ's church. And we see that in verse 25. It says, "I have thought it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need." In verse 19, he told them, "I hope to be able to send to you Timothy as soon as I can." But here in verse 25, he sees that it is necessary that he would send Epaphroditus maybe more quickly and would be the one to carry back the letter. And in this verse, Paul describes Epaphroditus' devotion to Christ in six different ways. First of all, we see the devotion of Christ in that he was willing to go and do whatever it was asked of him. You see that where it says, I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus was committed to whatever the task, whatever the task was, no matter the cost. He was willing to go. He was willing to be sent. And he had been sent by the Philippians at the first point to go not only to give him the letter, but also to spend a little bit of time with him, which I think flows from these verses. But here, Paul says, I want to send him back. And Epaphroditus willing at all points to do whatever was asked of him. Even to the point that he had risked his life on the way out to visit Paul, and now was willing to be sent back on the whims of the Apostle Paul. He was available to the ministry at a moment's notice. It's kind of like when you get the songs, the day you're going to do the music for us on Wednesday night. It was as if his life was open to the expanse or to the expense of the ministry. I remember working at Texas Roadhouse in Cheyenne when I was going to Frontier School of the Bible. So we would drive our 50 miles in. I, as a short, bald, not really attractive man, would only make about $25 a night and then, you know, put that in the gas tank and go back home. But one of the responsibilities at Roadhouse was that the guy was called a runner, and he would be on call for the bartender, for the waitresses or waiters, or the people prepping the food to do whatever was asked of him at a moment's notice, whether it was to take a drink out to a table for a waiter or waitress, whether it was to go grab a dish and start prepping it and making it look nice on the plate and being able to take it out to the table. And this would happen on Friday nights or Saturdays when the place was extra busy. But he was there and ready to do whatever was asked of him at any point throughout the night. This is exactly Epaphroditus' devotion to Christ's church, though he wasn't getting paid for it, obviously. It was such that he was willing to go and do anything that was asked of him at any time. He had his job as a layman in the church, but it was open enough to go on this trip. His service within the church must have been such that he was considered worthy in the first place to go on this journey, to take the money and to spend some time with the Apostle Paul. And so the question is, to the best of your ability, would this describe your schedule? Or are there too many other commitments that you have outside of work that would pull from your pool of would-be availability, which is sucked dry by its use to fill other needs that it wasn't designed to fulfill in the first place? Not only was Epaphroditus available at a moment's notice, but another way that Epaphroditus demonstrated his devotion and that was described by Paul was his availability, not only his availability, but his vulnerability. His vulnerability. Look at this. Paul says, I've thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother. My brother. Epaphroditus had become near and dear to Paul. And no doubt because of their work together for the sake of the gospel. However, you cannot become close to somebody who is closed off and self-conscious and always caring what others think about them. It is simply another form of pride. But Epaphroditus, He did not care what Paul thought or what anybody else thought about him. He was going to share his life with Paul, so much so that Paul called him my brother. A term that speaks of a person who is viewed as a brother in terms of close relationship. He had grown in a close relationship with the Apostle Paul, serving alongside of him, and had been completely vulnerable and self-sacrificial. This is one of the things that drew our hearts as Candace and I were thinking about coming out and serving here. This is one of the things that drew us to this church. I remember the first time a couple years ago that I came and preached here. And then we had, I think there was a meal over in the town center or the community center. I just remember getting to talk to the majority of you. And Candace and I walked away like, oh man, what an incredible place that would be to get to go serve Christ. And it was because of instantly, we felt like we knew you guys. It was instant. You guys opened up to us so quickly, so fast, and we felt like we had already shared years of life with you. The same is true even of the Estrada family. I use this as way of illustration, but even when they were still back in Roosevelt, and our family had just started coming to the church, we had some major issues going on with the adoption. And we were coming up to Pastor Brian to just get some good, godly, objectional, truthful wisdom on how to deal with the situation. And we basically just threw our kids upon the Estrada family without telling them what they could eat, what they needed, how long it was going to be. We dropped them off at the house, went into our time in counseling with Pastor Brian, and then spent the rest of the day doing the things that we had gotten told to do. And our kids just at their house. But it was instant that they had opened up their lives to us. And when I think of Epaphroditus being one who is called by Paul his brother, I think of that. I think of that openness and that vulnerability where they're always ready to share their lives with us. But not only that, he describes it in another way, demonstrating his devotion. A third way where Paul describes the devotion of Epaphroditus is he's described by Paul in his workability, in his ability to work with others. He calls him my fellow worker. This has the idea of an affectionate partnership. This term is used 13 times in the New Testament. All but one are from Paul describing those who served alongside of him in his ministry. And this was Epaphroditus. He was willing to get his hands dirty, so to speak. He was willing to put aside his own preferences and work alongside others. Certainly, this was one of the qualities that drove the Philippian church to say, hey, we should send Epaphroditus with this to go and give him the money and spend his time serving Paul. One commentator stated, he was a man who could work with others. And this is certainly a great essential in Christian life and service. He continues, it is one thing for a believer to work independently, having everything his own way. It is far more difficult to work with others, to play second fiddle, to allow for individual differences, and to submerge one's own desires and opinions for the good of the group. But this was Epaphroditus. He was a team player. He was the one who would have been the point guard distributing all the different passes so that others could make the shot, so that the whole team would have the benefit. And not only does he say that he would be available to be sent at any point, not only does he call him my brother and fellow worker, he also calls him his fellow soldier. Another description of Epaphroditus' devotion to the Church of Christ was his willingness to suffer hardship and conflict. He was a fellow soldier. And this was used of a soldier as a term of honor. making the soldier equal to the commander in chief. By this, Paul is holding Epaphroditus in the highest regards because he was willing to face the conflict and hardship that a soldier would face in battle. Epaphroditus risked his life for the ministry of the church, and he stood alongside Paul, even when it was of greatest risk, even when the majority of the world hated Paul at that time. And his devotion to Christ's church was not something that came second to his own personal ease and comfort. He was willing to lay aside his own comfort, his own easy life, for the sake of the church of Jesus Christ. This wasn't like those 20th to really 21st century short-term missions trips where a youth group may go and do a little project and then go sightsee for most of the time. It wasn't like Epaphroditus showed up to Paul and said, "Okay, here's the money. Now, I've really wanted to see Rome this whole time. I want to go check it out." This was full devotion. This was him engaging in the battle of the Apostle Paul, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. The trip alone from Philippi to Rome was no less than 700 miles, maybe more. We're not talking airplanes and cars to get him there. It was not that easy. Maybe some ships that may or may not have made it through some walking. That was his trip. That was his willingness. I'm willing to go put my life on the line for the sake of this ministry, of this church, and to the Apostle Paul, and to the cause of Christ. We're not talking about the hardships of this last Shepherd's Conference, where we go and we get to choose, you know, which of the 100,000 boiled eggs am I going to eat? Or which fruit here? And do I get chips and salsa? Or do I go and grab a hot dog? Or, you know, it's nothing like that. This was true hard work in the sense of going and doing the ministry. And it was a behind-the-scenes type of work where he was getting ready to serve Christ, where he was willing to serve Christ no matter the cost. A fifth way that Paul describes the devotion of Epaphroditus is his faithfulness to Christ's church. His faithfulness. He says, "Your messenger." This is the same Greek word where we get the term apostle. It's that concept in its most basic meaning. It refers to a delegate or an envoy or a messenger. In other words, he was the Philippians' representative who faithfully carried out the task that was given to him. And regardless of the fact that he became ill, almost to the point of death, according to verse 27, he remained faithful to the cause that he was given, just like Paul in the cause that was given to him to be the apostle of Christ to the Gentiles. In other words, Paul was saying, "Here is a faithful messenger to the cause to which you have sent him." Though Epaphroditus did not have the apostolic authority that Paul had as given to him by Christ, his faithfulness to the task was similar to that of Paul's. Not only that, a sixth and final way that Paul described Epaphroditus' devotion to the ministry was his service. He says, "I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker, and fellow soldier, and your messenger, and minister to my need." Epaphroditus demonstrated a servant's heart, and he ministered to Paul's need on behalf of the Philippian church. The word "minister" denotes really significant service. It carries with it priestly overtones and even used of Christ in Hebrews 8:2, talking or referring to his high priestly ministry. And it was for the needs of Paul, not his own wants. He didn't have some preference in ministry. And even if he did, he laid it aside for the sake of ministering to Paul in whatever way Paul needed him to serve. This was Epaphroditus' devotion to the mission of Christ's church. Whatever the call, whatever the cost, and whenever he was needed. Now, before you get too nervous, the last two points, purposefully shorter, so we'll keep rolling. But not only do we have this example that we have to that we must follow in his devotion to the mission of Christ's church, but number two, we must follow the example of his love for the people of Christ's church. We must follow the example of his love for the people of Christ's church. Epaphroditus loved his church. He had a deep affection for those who were a part of the local church in Philippi. Look at verses 26 through 28. He says, "For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill." Paul goes on to describe that indeed he was ill, near to death, but God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Verse 28, "I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious." One of the reasons Paul is going to send Epaphroditus is because of the concern that he showed toward the Philippian church. Epaphroditus was distressed, was longing to let the church know that he was okay. And here Epaphroditus is sick, almost to the point of death. As verse 27 says, "And the only thing that is on his mind is the sorrow and distress that the church would have had in hearing that he was sick." Verse 26 again says that he has been longing for you all. Longing for you all carries with it the idea of an intense and affectionate desire. It refers to a deep love and affection for the Philippian church. It's the same word over in chapter 1, verse 8, where Paul says the same thing about the Philippians, where he says, "For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus." It is that deep-seated love for these people. And it's exemplary of chapter 2, verses 3 through 4, where Paul even calls these Philippian believers to do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Verse 4, "Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." This was Epaphroditus. He loved these people to the point that he put his own concerns aside and set his affection upon them. And certainly this was Paul's intention in expressing this about Epaphroditus. He wanted them to see the exemplary love that he had for them so that they could imitate him as their example. And I see this kind of affection in our church as well. I see a love amongst us that is concerned about what is going on in the lives of others here. But what are some ways to cultivate this kind of affection? Well, one of the ways is to regularly pray for the church. Take time on a regular basis, whether it's every day or every week or whatever, take some time on a regular basis to sit before the throne of grace and lift up those around you to God. Be asking of ways, as I know that you do, that you can pray specifically for one another. That'll help you even more to get to know each other, even on a deeper level than there is now, and you'll grow in your affection for one another. And also strive to be engaged with what is going on within the church. Strive to fulfill needs in whatever ways possible. Be available to whatever's going on so that you can take part in supplying the needs of the saints here. This is certainly a characteristic of our church, but I say excel still more. True love for someone requires much time and sacrifice, as was seen in our Lord in his sacrificial death on the cross. And it requires a selflessness, as is seen in the mind of Christ, Philippians 2, 5 through 8. But not only must we follow in the example of Epaphroditus' devotion to the mission of Christ's church, and follow in an example in his love for the people of Christ's church, we must also, number three, follow the example of his sacrifice for the work of Christ's church. We must follow the example of his sacrifice for the work of Christ's church. Look at verses 29 through 30. He says, "So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me." Paul not only commands the Philippian church to receive him in the Lord with all joy, but also to have honor for such men. And he says so. In other words, Epaphroditus was worthy of high regard or high esteem from the church. And he calls them to do this for this purpose. Verse 30 tells us, "For he nearly died for the work of Christ." He put his life on the line for the cause of Christ. "Nearly died" here really refers back to verse 27, where it says, "Indeed, he was ill, near to death." Perhaps he contracted his illness on the way to go and visit and minister to the Apostle Paul. And though he felt it on the way, he just kept pushing and trucking along, getting there so he could complete his task. We're not told the details. What we do know is that it was due to his labor for Christ that he was doing on behalf of the local church for Paul. And notice this. Paul equates here the work of Christ in verse 30 with his service, Epaphroditus' service on behalf of the local church to Paul. "For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life." And what was the work of Christ he was doing? "To complete what was lacking in your service to me." He nearly died by risking his life. Risking his life here refers to voluntarily taking really a gamble, though it has high stakes. It was also used of exposing oneself to danger on behalf of a friend. And even at times used of fighting in the arena, even though it might cost you your own life. This was Epaphroditus. He was willing to give up his own life for the cause of Christ. And we're not talking about the Apostle Paul or one of the great apostles. We're talking about a member of a local church. He was devoted, he was committed, and worthy of honor. He was a complete demonstration of a Christ-likeness at its utmost, especially that of seen in Philippians 2:8, where it says that Jesus was obedient even to the point of death. This was not merely an unavoidable circumstance, but rather a risking of his life for the sake of the ministry. Somebody had to take these things to Paul. Somebody had to minister to Paul's needs. Somebody had to be useful in that way so that Paul could go on proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. This was Epaphroditus. For Epaphroditus, there was no too high of price to pay when it came to the ministry of the local church in the cause of Christ. And as Lawson says, he would have rather burnt out than rusted out for Christ. MacArthur said of Epaphroditus, with total disregard for his own welfare, he continually put his life on the line for the work of Christ. And it is high time that we evaluate our own lives and see what we can lay aside for the cause of Christ. I was taking some time to meditate on these truths even today, looking at my own life. And you see so quickly the lack of love Oftentimes, the lack of concern of everything else that's going on around me and just focusing in on my own schedule, my own priorities. And I think, God has called me to be a leader of the church. And here's a man who was willing to lay down his life for the sake of Christ. To go wherever God called him to go, to do whatever God called him to do, no matter the cost. This is the type of church member every church needs. This is the type of church member that the lost world around us needs. This is the type of church member that Christ is looking for. And it is amazing that Epaphroditus took on this lowly service behind the scenes for the Apostle Paul, and yet God exalted him. And so you ask, how can I get there? I want to be that kind of member within this body of Christ, but how do I get there? Three quick things. First of all, I would suggest get together with your spouse, if you have one. Simply ask God to forgive you for not prioritizing His church the way you should. And then spend some time brainstorming different ways that you could invest your time, treasure, and talents into the local church as you meditate upon this passage, looking at the life of Epaphroditus. So spend some time in prayer, then spend some time brainstorming. Take the time to think through, in what ways can I apply this to my life? And then simply count the cost, make the sacrifices that need to be made, and the strength that only comes from Christ, and commit yourself to serving in a way that costs you something. We don't want to be labeled as a church that fits the description of this 21st century Christianity, where we simply do what needs to be done as long as it fits within our own schedules. And in no way am I indicting any one of you. That's not my intention. But we all have areas where we waste different time or have committed ourselves to certain things where really we shouldn't be committing ourselves to in the first place. Not because they're wrong, not because it's sinful, but because it pulls us from the main thing, which is Christ and His church. And as we saw on Sunday, you won't regret it on Judgment Day. Eternity's coming. It stands at the door and it knocks. Christ is at hand. We do not know how long we have. We have the opportunity right here, right now, to give all that we have for the sake of Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this church. And I do thank you for the example that it is. I may have conversations with many of these dear men and women that challenge me to serve better, to work harder, and to be more devoted. There are people here who have devoted years and years to the same thing, week in and week out, doing ministry. But God, we want to be a church who's fully devoted. We want to be a church that's faithful like we see in Epaphroditus. Lord, we want to spend and be spent for Christ. We really do want our lives to count for you. Give us wisdom on how to prioritize our lives in such a way that would give you greatest honor and that would give the church, not because the church has its own intrinsic value, but to give the church its primary place because Christ Christ has given it a primary place. I pray, God, that our hearts would be fixed upon you. That we would be so centered upon living for Christ that we would serve you no matter the cost. God, it is most likely that none of our lives in this room most likely will ever face the type of persecution and death that would take place for serving Christ back in Paul's time. But Lord, help us not to use that as an excuse, but rather to be ever more devoted in the freedoms that you have given us. Lord, we thank you. I thank you for this church, and I thank you for the way that you are shaping it. I thank you for the way that we have been striving together and learning and how this church rallies around the Word of God. Help us to be ever more faithful, ever more committed, and give you the best that we have in the strength of Christ for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.